Hi, Ed Burdett here. As we start this week's readings, I want to briefly say that this podcast is a labor of love that's funded entirely by listener donations. Each day of the week, we offer scripture readings, and every Friday, we include a devotional called Reap, where we read, examine, apply, and pray over a section of scripture. If you find value in what we offer, or if you'd like to help spread Bible resources across the world, would you consider supporting us financially? You can do that by visiting oneyearbiblepodcast.com/give. Special thanks to our monthly donors who consistently and faithfully offer their support. Once again, that address is oneyearbiblepodcast.com/give. Thanks for considering, and now for today's reading. Today's reading begins in 1 Samuel, chapter 18, starting in verse 5. David went out wherever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. It was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they came, when David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy and with instruments of music. The women sang to one another as they played, and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Saul was very angry, and this saying displeased him. He said, "They have credited David with 10,000s, and they have only credited me with thousands. What can he have more but the kingdom?" Saul watched David from that day and forward. On the next day, an evil spirit from God came mightily on Saul, and he prophesied in the middle of the house. David played with his hand, as he did day by day. Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul threw the spear, for he said, "I will pin David to the wall." David escaped from his presence twice. Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he stood in awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merab, I will give her to you as wife. Only be valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul said, "Don't let my hand be on him, but let the hand of the Philistines be on him." David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?" But at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given to Adriel the Meholathite as wife. Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Saul said, "I will give her to him, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore Saul said to David a second time, "You shall today be my son-in-law." Saul commanded his servants, "Talk with David secretly, and say, 'Behold, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore, be the king's son-in-law.'" Saul's servants spoke these words in the ears of David. David said, "Does it seem to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and little known?" The servants of Saul told him, saying, "David spoke like this." Saul said, "Tell David, the king desires no dowry except 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies." Now Saul thought he would make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. Before the deadline, David arose and went, he and his men, and killed 200 men of the Philistines. Then David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full number to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. Then Saul gave him Michal his daughter as wife. Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. Saul was even more afraid of David, and Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the princes of the Philistines went out, and as often as they went out, David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was highly esteemed. Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants, that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now, therefore, please take care of yourself in the morning, live in a secret place, and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will talk with my father about you, and if I see anything, I will tell you." Jonathan spoke good of David to Saul his father, and said to him, "Don't let the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his works have been very good towards you. For he put his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and the Lord worked a great victory for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause?" Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. Then Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. There was war again. David went out and fought with the Philistines, and killed them with a great slaughter, and they fled before him. An evil spirit from the Lord was on Saul as he sat in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing music with his hand. Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he stuck the spear into the wall. David fled and escaped that night. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to kill him in the morning. Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you don't save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed." So Michal let David down through the window. He went away, fled, and escaped. Michal took the teraphim and laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair at its head, and covered it with clothes. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Saul sent the messengers to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed, that I may kill him." When the messengers came in, behold, the teraphim was in the bed, with the pillow of goat's hair at its head. Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me like this, and let my enemy go, so that he has escaped?" Michal answered Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill you?'" Now David fled and escaped, and came to Samuel at Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. He and Samuel went and lived in Naoth. Saul was told, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." Saul sent messengers to seize David, and when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Saul standing as head over them, God's Spirit came on Saul's messengers, and they also prophesied. When Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied. Then he also went to Ramah, and came to the great well that is in Sekhu. And he asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" One said, "Behold, they are at Naoth in Ramah." He went there to Naoth in Ramah. Then God's Spirit came on him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. He also stripped off his clothes. He also prophesied before Samuel and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore they say, "Is Saul also amongst the prophets?" The Gospel of John, chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Jesus therefore said to those Jews who had believed him, "If you remain in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's offspring, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How do you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most certainly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is the bondservant of sin. A bondservant doesn't live in the house forever. A son remains forever. If therefore the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I say the things which I have seen with my father, and you also do the things which you have seen with your father." They answered him, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham didn't do this. You do the works of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, God." Therefore Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came out and have come from God. For I haven't come of myself, but he sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you can't hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and doesn't stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks on his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this cause you don't hear, because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered him, Didn't we say well that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I don't have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I don't seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most certainly, I tell you, if a person keeps my word, he will never see death. Then the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and you say, If a man keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is our God. You have not known him, but I know him. If I said, I don't know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, You are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Most certainly I tell you, before Abraham came into existence, I am. Therefore they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, having gone through the middle of them, and so passed away. Psalm 112, beginning in verse 1. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house. His righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright, gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals graciously and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not be afraid of evil news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid in the end when he sees his adversaries. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Proverbs chapter 15, starting in verse 12. A scoffer doesn't love to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. A glad heart makes a cheerful face, but an aching heart breaks the spirit. The heart of one who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly.